You know, about 15 years ago, there was a movie that came out of Hollywood called Pay It Forward. Anybody see that movie? Some of you. I don't remember if I watched the whole movie or not, but I definitely remembered hearing about the movie when it came out. But basically, the idea behind this movie was that there was this young boy, his name was Trevor, and he was caught up in this assignment that was given to him by his new social studies teacher. Now, the assignment that was given to him was a unique assignment, and this is what it was. The assignment was to think of something that could change the world and then do it. All right? Think of something that could change the world and then put it into action. So Trevor came up with this idea, and you've probably figured it out based on the title of the movie. Trevor came up with this idea of when someone does something nice to you, don't repay the favor or pay back the favor, but rather pay it forward. In other words, repaying good deeds not with payback, but with new good deeds that he would do to three different people. And then when those people would say, oh, well, thank you so much, how can I ever repay you? Then he would say to them, don't pay me back, pay it forward and bless three other people. So Trevor's efforts to make good on his idea and bring a revolution in the lives of himself as well as his mom and his physically and emotionally scarred teacher who gave him the challenge was a success. But it was an ever-widening circle of people that started to catch on to this vision of paying it forward. Well, since then, and at many different times and various places and various people have challenged others to pay it forward. They kind of grasped on to this idea of paying it forward. And November seems to be the month to do that. When we're so thankful and we're trying to show our thankfulness to others. So in fact, if you've been listening, how many of you listen to 90.9 KLRC? All right. Well, I love listening to KLRC. I love all Christian radio, but I like that one because I get a report from I-49 also on that one. You know, it's handy. But if you've been listening this last week to KLRC, you know that in conjunction with Arvest Bank, the radio station has been challenging people to pay it forward by purchasing fuel for someone at a gas station. They said, just go up and bless somebody and say, I'd like to buy your gas today. Or here's a $20 gift card. Fill up your gas tank or whatever. Well, this next week, they're challenging people to pay it forward by paying for the bill for someone who is behind you in a drive-through line at a fast food restaurant. In fact, if you go to their website, you can find this document on there. And I really kind of like this because, well, this is the drive-through difference day, and this is supposed to be done on November the 12th, which, by the way, is, I believe, this Thursday, right? So if I see you driving around town and go through a drive-thru, I'm going to follow you. Just wanted you to know. But this is the drive-thru difference. And they invite you to get, you know, go online and download this PDF document. And notice what, I hope you can read that. Yeah, some of you can if you're on the front. Those of you who are on the back, well, you know. But the notes here says, hey, you know, well, you're supposed to print this out and give it to the cashier to give to the person behind you. The note says, hey, you don't know me, but I've just paid for your order. I just wanted to remind you that God loves you, and I hope it made a difference in your day today. Maybe you'll feel like paying it forward to someone else. I heard about this idea on 90.9 KLRC, and it made my day. They're sharing stories like this all day long if you'd like to listen. Sincerely, the person in front of you. P.S. You can share your own story by calling 479-238-8585. And so this is a way to pay it forward. Now, this isn't a new idea. This isn't something extremely innovative by KLRC. In fact, there are many stories about paying it forward on the internet. You go and search videos and you can find a plethora of different stories. In fact, just last year in St. Petersburg, Florida, a lady at a Starbucks coffee place at 7 a.m. decided she was going to pay it forward to the person behind them. And so she went in, she paid for their coffee. Well, the person behind her thought that was great, and so she paid for the coffee, but for the person behind her. And it kept going. You probably heard this story. There were actually 378 people in a row who paid it forward and bought the coffee of the person behind them. It lasted for 11 hours from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. And, you know, then I started watching videos, and then people started getting on to the person who was 379th, you know. And I was like, come on, give them a break. Apparently it was someone who didn't understand what was going on. But, you know, that's pretty cool. But I think a lot of times people do those kind of things just to kind of get in on it. You know, I wonder, you know, how can we bless people without making it a meme or a video that we post on the internet or try to make the news with it? Anyway, well, there's a group of young filmmakers who call themselves the Give Back Films, and they have gone in and they've videotaped the opportunity of paying it forward to people. And so I want to share this video with you, and I want you to notice the reactions of the people who are blessed with free food at the drive-thru.
Today we're going to be paying for people's food at the drive-thru.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm great, thanks for asking.
Awesome. All I need is a small water.
Okay.
Cool. That should be it.
All right.
Thanks.
Uh-huh.
We're gonna pay for the people behind us.
You wanna pay for
the? Yeah, we wanna pay for the person behind us. Is that cool? Do we pay here then for that?
Yeah, they pay here.
Yeah. Whatever they get, it's fine. No problem. Have a great day.
Yeah, give me a thumbs up back.
Hey, thanks, man.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Surprise.
All we ask is passing on, man. You know.
You got it. Yeah.
Cool.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Enjoy your lunch.
Hey, I got it, man.
You buying my food?
Yeah, man.
Why?
Just giving back. Have a good day, man.
Yeah, you too. Thank you, sir.
Hey. Yep.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Yep. Have a good one.
Oh, looks like the guy behind us just paid for the people behind him as well. So we started a little chain. That's cool.
So imagine how your friends and family would respond if you did something to bless them. You know, I think it's, well, okay, first of all, let me take a time out, chase a small rabbit. For those of you who are huge fans of In-N-Out Burgers, I apologize for bringing that to you because you don't have that option. We have In-N-Out Burger fans here? Yeah, well, I apologize. You know, I have one particular deacon who always gripes at me because I put cravings into his mind and he can't fulfill that craving. But, but imagine how your friends and family would respond. I mean, these were total strangers. And, you know, sometimes I would say that sometimes it's easier to be nicer to people we don't know. Is that fair? You know, it's cool to go up and say, hey, here's a $20 gift card. Go put some gas in your car. Hey, I just paid for your lunch. Cool, who are you? I'm nobody. just trying to spread God's love. But can we spread God's love to those people who really know us? Can we bless those people? Imagine how our family would respond if we did something to bless them today. Imagine how our friends would respond if we blessed them today. Well, that's exactly what we find in our text that we're going to look at this morning. We find a centurion named Cornelius who blessed his friends and his family in a way that changed their lives forever. And so I invite you to look at Acts chapter 10. We'll be looking at Acts 10, verse 24. We'll actually be walking through the entire chapter of Acts 10, but I didn't want to just sit and read it to you because it is 48 verses long. And don't worry, my sermon only has, I think, 7 or 8 points this morning. I know that excites some of you dearly. But I just want us to focus in on first on this verse 24 in Acts chapter 10 and notice what the Bible has to say about Cornelius. It says, and on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and his close friends. Did you notice that last phrase? Cornelius was expecting them, expecting Peter, and we're going to see that in just a minute, but he was expecting them. And so what did he do? He called together his relatives and his close friends. Folks, this is Cornelius's circle of influence. The people that are a part of his life. If you notice the bulletin this morning, you can see we've all been blessed with friends and family. There are lots of people in our network. There are a lot of people that you know that you can be a blessing to. So who is it that's in your circle of influence? Last week, I challenged you to fill in this sheet. And for those of you who forgot to do that, I put it on the back of this Sunday's sermon insert again. Who are those people in our lives that need to be blessed, who need to be blessed with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what we want to spend a little time thinking about today. In Acts chapter 10, we find that Peter is in a place called Joppa. And Joppa is along the coast there in Israel, and so Peter was there. But we find this other guy named Cornelius. And by the way, this is most likely his family name, not his first name. But he was a centurion. That meant that he was most likely in charge of somewhere between 80 and 100 Roman soldiers. And he was one of 5 or 6 men that each made that up and then went from there up to legions. And so these were the guys. He was an officer in the Roman army, all right? Officer Cornelius. And the Bible describes him here in the beginning of chapter 10 as a devout man, verse 2, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. So we find out that he is a devout or God-fearing man. He is a generous man, and he is a man that is devoted to prayer. Now, it makes it pretty clear that he is not a proselyte, which if you don't know what that is, basically that was when a Gentile became a follower of the Jewish religion and took upon himself all of the aspects of Jewish religion, because we know here that he had not done all of those things, but that he was a worshiper of Yahweh, of the one true God, and he was praying to Yahweh. And so God responded to his prayer. And so Cornelius hears from God in these first few verses of Acts chapter 10. God responded to his prayer, and he told him to go and find this man named Simon Peter. And Simon Peter was in a house in Joppa, which was about 30 to 35 miles away. He was in a house the house of Simon the Tanner. And so he said, go and find Simon Peter and bring him here. So what do we learn from these first few verses in Acts chapter 10? Well, the application that I find here is that blessing begins with prayer. We talked about this last week, that we must, when we bless people, we must begin with prayer. Cornelius began with prayer. He was praying to God continually. And it goes on in verse 3 and says, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him. So he was praying. Now it says that at the ninth hour. Typically, Jews would pray at three times a day. And the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, is one of those times that they were to pray. So blessing begins with prayer. And you know, if God listens to Cornelius, think about this. God listened to Cornelius, a man who had not yet had a relationship with him. If God was willing to listen to Cornelius, how much more will he be willing to listen to one of us, his children, as we lift up our prayers to him? So in these first verses, we see that Cornelius hears from God. And then in the next set of verses, 9 through 19, we find that Peter also hears from God. Notice what it says in verse 9. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. Now, Peter was a devout Jew. He followed the Jewish religion. He prayed three times a day just as he was supposed to. One of those times was the sixth hour. One of those times was the ninth hour. That's noon and 3 o'clock. And I love the fact that it tells us this, because in the next verse it says, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. Why? Well, because it was lunchtime. Amen. It was time to eat. That's why you guys freak out if I go past 12 o'clock, because it's lunchtime. It's time to eat. It's time to be quiet, Brother Wade. Well, that's what happened here. Peter got hungry. And so he was up on the rooftop. It was about noon. He was hungry. And at that moment in time, God gave him a vision. It says, while they were preparing the food downstairs, Peter fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened up and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. Verse 12, in it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. So Peter has this vision while he's up on the housetop praying and getting hungry. And he has a vision of all sorts of animals coming down like they're spread out on a tablecloth. And God says, get up and eat, Peter. That sounds like my kind of dream. Amen, Brother Dan? But what was the problem here? The foods, the animals that were inside this sheet were not kosher. They were not within the dietary restrictions of Jews. And so Peter responded to God's command to get up and eat. And he said, by no means will I defile myself by eating those unclean animals. Now, I want to point out here, because Peter gets, you know, he gets a bum rap sometimes in Scripture, because he's the one who denied Jesus. And here he's telling God, no way am I going to do what you tell me to do. But I want you to know that it is significant that Peter uses a phrase here in the original language, which was a very polite and subjective way of refusal. It wasn't like, no way am I doing that. It was like, please, no, thank you, I appreciate it, but no. So he was polite in his refusal, but still he was refusing, because in his mind, his refusal is maintaining the standards by which God wanted him to live. It was a refusal to comply within the dietary restrictions given to him in the law. Think about it. Is that something that would be celebrated for someone to do something like that, trying to keep the law? What about Daniel? You know the story of Daniel? Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. And we're not talking about the Daniels here, even though we have some that are worldwide celebrities, we find out. Daniel made an assertion in Daniel chapter 1. When faced with the temptation to assimilate into the life and the culture of Babylon, Daniel said, I will not eat the king's food. And we celebrate Daniel as a role model. Daniel 1:8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. So we celebrate Daniel. And you know what? I know that Peter knew who Daniel was. Peter knew that Daniel had said no to the king's food. And so Peter was saying, I also will say no, even though I'm hungry. I will not rise up and eat. I will not defile myself with unclean animals. And what was God's reply? God says, do not call anything that I have created common or unclean. Now, it's interesting to note, you know, Peter does get a bum rap, but in some ways he earns that bum rap. Okay? Because it tells us next in the scripture in chapter 10 that the vision was repeated 3 times. And Peter each time refused, and God said, do not call that which I've created unclean. So 3 times it's repeated. And so finally, I love this, in verse 19, I believe. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah. It says, and while Peter was pondering the vision. You know, another translation says there that Peter was confused. While he was thinking about all of this, trying to process all of this stuff, God, in his sovereignty and perfect timing, allowed 3 men or a group of men to arrive at his house and help clarify that vision. The men that arrived at that time were the men that Cornelius had sent a few days before. So the Spirit of God gave Peter further instructions through these men, and we'll look at that in a moment. But what do we learn here under this topic of Peter hears from God? What are some of the things that we can apply to our life? Well, I believe one is this. Being a blessing to others begins with prayer. What was Peter doing? What was Peter doing? He was praying, as was his custom. Now, even though prayer 3 times a day is not commanded in Scripture, Peter followed the example of holy men before him and consistently prayed 3 times a day. God guides those who seek him in prayer. Amen? God guides those who seek him in prayer. God works in the lives of those who pray. And as we seek him first in prayer, he gives us opportunity to bless others. So being a blessing, not just blessing begins with prayer, but being a blessing to others begins in prayer. So the next thing that we notice, starting there in verse 19, going through 24, we notice that Peter obeys God's instructions. Tells us that Peter went down to meet the men and find out why they were there. Verse 19, and while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, 3 men, I thought it was 3 men, 3 men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you're looking for. What's the reason for your coming? So Peter went down, he obeyed God's command. But notice what happens next in verse 22. It says, and they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So what do we find that Peter did, first of all, when he met these people? What did he do? He listened to them. Do you see that? He said, what's your story? Why are you here? What can I do for you? How can I help you? He listened to what they had to say. And they shared the story about their commanding officer, Cornelius, the centurion, who has called Peter to come. And so what did Peter do next? Notice what verse 23 says. So he invited them in to be his guest. Peter invited them in to be his guest for the evening. And you know what? An invitation to be his guest would absolutely include eating with them and serving them. Are you seeing the acronym? Begin with prayer, listen to them, eat with them, serve them. You know, by the time they would have finished a late lunch, it would have been, remember, they arrived right about noon, right? So they probably came in, they prepared lunch for them, finished the lunch. It was probably too late by that point in time to begin the two-day journey back to Caesarea, because the men had left Cornelius at 3 o'clock 2 days prior to that, we find out, because it says by the time they got back to Cornelius was 4 days later. So Peter said, come in, let me take care of you. You be my guest. And so Peter served them. But you know, Peter also served them by going with them to Cornelius' house. Peter had no obligation to do that, did he? I mean, did he? I'm sure Peter was a busy man. We're all busy. The problem is oftentimes we try to equate busyness with holiness. And Peter knew that to do what God wanted him to do meant that he needed to stop everything he was doing there in Joppa and go 2 days walk, 30, 35 miles walk, to go and meet this man who had asked him to come. He served them. So what can we learn from this section of the scripture? How do we apply this to our lives? Well, number one, we show people that we care for them when we listen to them. We show people we care when we listen to them. Number two, we get to know people more personally when we eat with them. And number three, we show people the love of Christ when we serve them. So the next day comes, and Peter heads up to Caesarea. So in anticipation of Peter's arrival, Cornelius called together all of his friends and family. And this is the verse we read just a while ago, verse 24. And how that he had called all of his friends and family to come together to hear what Peter had to say. Now, it is clear here that Cornelius had no idea what Peter was going to teach them. He had heard from God to contact this man, and this man would share the truth with him. That's all he knew. Because notice what happens in verse 25 and 26. As soon as Peter got there, when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I too am a man. I am nothing special, Cornelius, I'm just a man. So Cornelius didn't have a clue as to the truth of the gospel, but he was reaching out to his circle of influence, his friends and family, to hear the message that and the messenger that God had sent his way. You know what? Peter would have never, ever had an opportunity to reach these people had it not been for Cornelius. He had no connection whatsoever with these people. He was staying at that time 35 miles away. His home was even further away from that. There was no way he would ever have an opportunity to reach these people living in Caesarea. But who could? Cornelius. Cornelius reached out and impacted, influenced his circle of influence. Verse 27, the scripture goes on and he says, "And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, 'You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection.'" You see that? Peter figured it out. God gave him the vision three times, and Peter was still confused, still pondering what it could mean. But all of a sudden, he's been asked to go in to the house of a Gentile. And he realized that that was exactly what he needed to do. So what can we learn from this? How can we apply these truths to our life? Well, the first thing I would ask you is, who do you know that God is asking you to influence with the truth of the gospel? Who do you know that God is asking you to influence with the truth of the gospel? And then who do those people know? Because the circles of influence never end. They just keep going and going. Yes, I have a circle of influence. People that I know that I can reach out to. You are part of that. My question is who do you know that needs to hear the gospel? If we want to follow the example of Cornelius, we need to identify our circles of influence and create opportunities to influence them with the gospel. That's what he has done here. He reached out to his friends, to his family. He brought them into his house to meet the messenger of God who knew the truth. What happens next, I love. We find in verses 30 through 33 that Cornelius takes this opportunity to share his story. It says in verse 30, "And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord.'" Think about the faith that it took for Cornelius to send three of his men on a two-day journey one way to find a man that he was told about in a dream. Not only just find a man, but find this man in this place, in a city 2 days away. That's a pretty awesome story, isn't it? I mean, if that story were to happen in your life today and you were to see God work in that way, you would be pretty excited about it, wouldn't you? Now, did Cornelius have the truth of the gospel in his mind or in his heart? Absolutely not. He didn't have a clue about who Jesus was or what Jesus had come and done for him. But what Cornelius did know is that God had worked in his life. And folks, when God is at work in people's lives, we've got to allow them to share their story. We've got to listen to them as they share their story. No matter what a person's story is, we must give them an opportunity to share their story, and we must listen to them. Truly listen, not just think about what we're going to say next. Are you guilty? I know I am. As I'm listening to somebody, I'm I'm looking for those opportunities to jump off of what they just said into something that I want to say. And I, you know, it's a holy thing to do, right? I'm trying to share the gospel with them. But folks, we've just got to listen to people. People do not care what you know until they know that you care. And we show them that we care when we listen to them. So Cornelius shared his story. And then in verse 34, Peter shares his story. And that's the whole point of this encounter. That's the whole point of this blessing, is to get to the opportunity that we have the chance, the right, the invitation to share our story of what God has done in our lives. So Peter shares his story. He acknowledges here that he does not have a complete understanding of all things. Verse 34, he said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right and is acceptable for, and does what is right is acceptable to him." I love the fact that Peter is starting out from the very beginning saying, "Look, 3 days ago, I thought you guys were heathens going to hell and had no right to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I've learned something new. All men are acceptable in the eyes of God when they trust in Jesus Christ." He acknowledges the fact that he's still on this journey. He's still experiencing this story that he has in Christ. And so then he shared his story. Notice what it says, reading on in verse 36. "As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed." You see, this is not that long after everything had happened. Everyone had heard about Jesus. Not everyone understood who Jesus was or why he came, but Peter is playing on the fact that you remember that story, you remember that guy that not too long ago, everything that happened, his name was Jesus Christ. And then he goes on, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Said, the stories about him are true. They are not exaggerated. Jesus was full of the power of God and was able to heal. And I will tell you this, I was a personal witness to that. Verse 39, "And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem." You know what, folks? People cannot argue with your personal testimony. You are the expert. They cannot tell you that what you have experienced in your relationship with God is wrong. You are the eyewitness, just as Peter was the eyewitness of this. And he went on and he said, "They put him, Jesus Christ, to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." I think that's important to note, by the way. This wasn't a spirit that they saw. This was a physical human body who ate and drank with them. God raised him from the dead. Verse 42, "And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. A simple story that Peter shared of his own experience and then brought it to the place where he said, anyone who wants forgiveness of sins can have it when they believe in the name of Jesus. A simple gospel witness. Peter sharing his story. I think that's what we need to take away from this portion of the scripture. The application I pull from this is that Peter shared his story from his perspective. This was his personal experience with Christ. And we also, brothers and sisters, we also must be ready to share our story when given the opportunity. Notice what Peter wrote several years later in his first letter to the dispersed churches throughout Asia. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. The Bible says, "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed." Did you catch that? "Even if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." Did you notice what it said right there in the middle, in verse 15? Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Always be ready to share your story. Do it, it says, with gentleness and respect, but always be ready to share your story. Folks, we bless others when we share our story with them. Now let's look, the final thing that we see here in chapter 10, the last four verses, we see that God is glorified. Now let me back up in the book of Acts for just a moment. You see, in Acts chapter 2, if you remember your New Testament survey, Acts chapter 2, we see that the church in Jerusalem receives the Holy Spirit and His indwelling power at the day of Pentecost. And we've studied that and we've read about how the Holy Spirit came and the Holy Spirit indwelled those believers in Jerusalem. Now, what you may or may not remember is that in Acts chapter 8, the same thing happened, but this time it happened to a group of believers in Samaria. Now, who were the Samaritans? Do you remember? They were half Gentile and half Jew. Okay? They were a mixed breed of people. And so, in Acts chapter 8, to clarify to the Jews that the Holy Spirit was for those people, in Acts chapter 8, the Holy Spirit came, and those people also received the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Now we're here in Acts chapter 10, in the house of a Gentile believer, the very first Gentile believer, and we find here that the power of the Holy Spirit is also given to them. Verse 44, it says, "While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed." Now that among the circumcised, that's referring to those who are Jews. So all the Jewish believers that were with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. And so now we have all people groups covered. There was an outpouring of His Spirit on the believers who were Jews, on the believers who were Samaritans, and the uttermost parts of the earth, just as Acts 1:8 told us would happen, that we would be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now the Holy Spirit is indwelling them, and they, everyone from that point forward, at the point of their salvation, at the point of their belief in Christ, are indwelled with the power of the Holy Spirit. God was glorified. So what do we learn from this? Well, I believe that we learn when we begin with prayer and we listen to people and we eat with them, we serve them, and then we share our story with them, I believe that God will be glorified. We must bless those who are in our circles of influence. We need to realize that this process of blessing our friends and family will most likely take a whole lot longer than this story has taken me to share with you this morning. Even though it's approaching the sixth hour and we are getting hungry, it's going to take time, folks. It may not happen all in 1 week where you go from not, you know, someone goes from not knowing God at all to having a personal relationship with Christ and all of their friends and family with them. It may take some time, but we must begin, continue, and end in prayer. Cornelius was a man that was devoted to prayer. Peter was a man that was devoted to prayer. It may take decades for our loved ones to come to know Christ as their Savior, but we cannot give up hope. We've got to continue trusting that God has a plan and He's going to execute His plan. So we must begin, continue, and end in prayer. The second thing I see is that we must identify unbelievers in my circle. I don't know about you, but my wife and I sat down and had a very short conversation, but a conversation nonetheless, about how few unbelievers we know. My time is taken up with pretty much believers. And I realized this past week as I was trying to fill out my chart of my circle of influence, the people I needed to bless with the gospel, is that I need to meet new people. That's what I learned. I don't know about you, but we need to identify those people who need to know Christ. Next thing that I notice is that we need to be strategic in blessing. Be strategic. Think about the people who need to be blessed in your circles of influence and figure out, how can I bless them? You can pray for them. How can you create opportunities to have the chance to listen to them and eat with them and serve them and share stories with them? That's what we've got to do. We've got to be strategic in reaching our circles of influence. Folks, this next statistic, and I'm almost done, I promise. Stick with me for 2 more minutes, if you will. This next statistic is mind-boggling to me. 88% of people, 88% of people who trust Christ, if I can get it to go up there, that would be great. There we go. 88% of people who trust Christ and become a part of the church do so because of a relationship with someone in that church. 88%. if God is going to grow this church body, He is going to do so through the relationships that you and I have in our circles of influence. Who do you need to bless today? Let's pray. Father,